Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned as we continue and conclude today our series of studies on rightly dividing the word of truth. As you know, if you've been tuning into our broadcast regularly, we are looking this month at the third in a series of studies on how to find, get, learn, and live life. We started with a month just looking at that topic in general, life, find it, get it, learn it, live it. And then we're taking a month and look at each of those individually. How can we find life? How can we get life? How can we learn about life? And how can we live life? This month, as I said, we're focused on learning life. That is, learning about the life that is in the Word of God. When we looked at finding life, we saw that we find life in a book, in the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." When we studied getting life, we talked about how to get the life from that book into your life by believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And now, in this series of studies, once we know where that life is in the Word of God, and we've found that life, we've gotten that life, we've believed the gospel. Now, how do we learn about that life so that we can prepare to live that life, which is a topic that we'll discuss next month? But before we can live it, we have to learn about that life. So this month, that's our topic, learning about the life that we've received. And we do that by studying and rightly dividing the word of truth. Our starting point for this month's series is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. So you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn there. And as you do, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you an address that you can write to if you have questions or comments about what you've heard. If you'd like to receive more information about this topic, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, if you just write to us and request the series on right division, this will be the last week that we offer this series on right division for you. So be sure to write this week if you'd like to receive it. Request either on VHS video cassette tape or on audio cassettes the series of studies on rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, our starting point for this series of studies. Chapter 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Those two passages, verse 16 of chapter 3, every word of God is inspired, every word of God is true, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then chapter 2, verse 15, "Study, take those words that are God's word that have life, study them." That means labor over them, not just a casual reading, but study them. And as you study, rightly divide the word of truth. Now, we've been looking at rightly dividing the word of truth. And the key to rightly dividing the word of truth is to allow God to give us that system of right division. Many men have talked about rightly dividing the word of truth and put systems of study, tried to overlay them on God's word, their own systems. But God's way of dividing his word is very simple. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Revelation 21, verse 1. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea." The basic division in God's word is between the heaven and the earth. He has a plan and a policy and a purpose to make Jesus Christ Lord of all and to have every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His plan and his purpose involves fulfilling that purpose of having Jesus Christ be Lord, involves fulfilling that plan in the earth and fulfilling that plan in heaven. That every knee would bow in heaven and in earth to Jesus Christ as Lord. Last week we saw that there are groups of people that God has called out to be His. He called out the nation Israel to fulfill His plan in the earth, to fulfill His purpose of having every knee in earth bowing to the name of Christ. He fulfilled His plan in heaven through the church, the body of Christ. That's the vehicle He will use to fulfill that plan in the heavenly places, that not only every knee in earth, but every knee in heaven shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. So as we rightly divide the word of truth, God's division is between fulfilling of His plan in earth, fulfilling of His plan in heaven, the nation Israel being used to fulfill that plan in the earth, the church, the body of Christ, being used to fulfill that plan in heaven, and we in this dispensation of grace. We saw also last week that the information about the church, the body of Christ, is given by Paul in his epistles, Romans to Philemon. He calls it the mystery. God calls it the mystery, which was hid in other ages and other generations, but now is made known. This information about this new group of believers. See, in the Old Testament, all the way up through the Gospels and early Acts, what we read about is God's plan to establish a kingdom in the earth through the nation Israel. But there's a plan that was kept secret to establish a kingdom in the heavens with the church, the body of Christ. Now, in practical terms, living right division. What's the difference between being a part of the nation Israel and a part of the church, the body of Christ? Between being a part of the plan that God's fulfilling in the earth and His plan being fulfilled in the heavenly places? Well, obviously, the earth is a physical, visible place. The heavens are a spiritual place. And the things that go on there are invisible to us. The principalities and powers and the governmental structure of the heavenlies, it's invisible to us. So we have a visible realm in the earth, physical realm. And we have an invisible spiritual realm in the heavens. And we see that just in the people that God called out. The people that He called out for the earth, Israel, they're a physical people. They're an actual nation, physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The people that He called out to fulfill His heavenly plan are a spiritual people, not a physical group, but spiritually united in Christ. And God's dealings with these two groups differ in that way. And many things can grow out of this understanding. We're just going to touch on the basics of it today. We'll get into it some more in next month's series of studies when we talk about living the life that you've received in Christ. But today, just to understand that God's dealings in the earth with His earthly people, Israel, focus very much in the physical realm. His dealings with the church, the body of Christ, His heavenly people, focus very much in the spiritual realm. And that makes a great difference in our expectations of God. What we're expecting Him to do, what we're looking for Him to do, and where our faith is placed. Turn with me back to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Let's just look at some passages that will illustrate this basic point. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. And notice how God deals with Israel here. This is where He brings the nation out of the land of Egypt. The nation is brought unto Him. They're born. They're referred to as being born when they come out through the Red Sea. And listen to Exodus 14, verse 10. Exodus 14, 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still
and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Notice what Moses says there in verse 13. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Israel is going to receive here, as they come out of Egypt, a salvation that they could see. Not a spiritual. The word salvation in Scripture can mean many things. And oftentimes when it's used in reference to the nation Israel, it's a physical salvation. You stand still and see the. You see those Egyptians back there? You see that water in front of you? You just stand still and you watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up that water and I'm going to physically deliver you from harm. Out through the Red Sea. And it continues. Look over in chapter 15 of Exodus. Once they're delivered out through the Red Sea, in verse 24. Exodus 15, 24. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know what part of the promise of God was when he came out of that, Israel came out of that land of Egypt, he delivered them through that water, delivered them from that physical enemy, gave them water to drink, and said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. See, he dealt with them in the physical realm, parted the Red Sea, gave them water to drink, said, I'll not put diseases on you. I'm the Lord that healeth you. Look over in chapter 16. It continues. Verse number 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, when ye shall see the glory of God, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be that the Lord shall give unto you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? The murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say to the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before your Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake to the congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked up upon the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, Behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. What else? Gave them water to drink. Delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. Gave them water to drink. Said, I'll heal you of diseases. I'm the Lord that healeth you. Said, Here's bread for your breakfast. Here's meat for your supper, fed them in the wilderness. You see, God's relationship to them is a relationship that focuses on the flesh, on the physical, on providing for their physical needs. Why? Because they are an earthly people. They are a physical nation. And God's provision is in the physical realm for them. Now, that's not to say that God has no spiritual plan for the nation. He certainly does. But for Israel, the spiritual plan comes later. In fact, let's turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 31. the prophet Jeremiah. This is after Israel has had all this great physical deliverance out of the land of Egypt and been fed with manna and all of that. Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." You see, there's a promise to the nation Israel, I will forgive your sin. I will forget your iniquity. I will give you a new heart. I will write my law in your heart. Israel's promises for spiritual deliverance come, they have first the physical, and they look for a spiritual deliverance. They first get the physical. Why? Because they're God's physical people. They're a physical nation, and they deal on the earth. And God demonstrates to them His ability to establish a kingdom on the earth with them by performing those physical miracles, pointing to a spiritual deliverance that is to come. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. When He sends His 12 apostles out, Matthew 10, 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to establish my kingdom in the earth. In that kingdom, you'll have your spiritual deliverance. But now when you go out, you take this physical deliverance. You heal the sick, you cleanse the lepers, you raise the dead, you cast out devils. And in that, you demonstrate a spiritual deliverance to come. God dealt with Israel in a very physical way, meeting their physical needs, providing for their physical health and their physical welfare, pointing them to an ultimate spiritual delivery. He dealt with them first physically because they are an earthly people, a physical nation. The church, the body of Christ, is a heavenly people, not a nation, but a spiritual organism. How does that make it different? Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Did you catch that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of blessings are in heavenly places? That verse says spiritual. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." A blessing that's spiritual is a blessing that you can't touch, can't feel, can't see, can't smell, can't taste. It's not with your five senses. In fact, He lists those blessings there. Verse 4, He says, "He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Verse 5, "He's predestinated us." Verse 6, "He's made us accepted in the Beloved." Verse 7, "We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Verse 9, "He's made known to us the mystery of His will." Verse 11, "We've obtained an inheritance in Him." None of those things can you see, touch, and feel. You can't see forgiveness. You can't touch redemption. You can't taste being accepted in the Beloved, like Israel could taste that manna and could taste those quails. You can't see forgiveness like Israel could see the salvation of their God. They're spiritual. That's why Paul says He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. As a member of the body of Christ,
seated in heavenly places, you've been made partaker of all spiritual blessings. So God deals with us first and foremost in the spiritual realm. He deals with us not by providing for our physical needs, but providing everything we need spiritually. In fact, turn over just a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 3 and verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Notice Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus is not that they would be strengthened outwardly in the flesh, but that they would be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in their spirit, in their inner man, a spiritual blessing. Now, if what you're expecting from God today is supernatural blessing in the physical realm, you're going to be disappointed. Because that was the purview of the nation Israel, God's earthly people, that He dealt with in that physical realm. God's heavenly people, the church, the body of Christ, that He deals with in the spiritual realm, the purview of the body of Christ is strengthening with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 just for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice verse number 23. This is Paul writing, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Does it sound like Paul had everything physically that he needed? Doesn't sound like it to me. Hunger, thirst, nakedness, beatings, painfulness, weariness, perils. See, God never said to Paul, stand still and see the salvation of your God. I'll deliver you from the hand of all your enemies, as He did to Israel. But in the midst of all those physical problems, Paul had all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And just as Israel, God dealt with them first and foremost in the physical realm and pointed them toward the spiritual, He deals with us in the spiritual realm and points us to the physical. Turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 22. Romans 8 and verse number 22. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation groans and travails under the weight of the curse of sin. It suffers. You suffer. I suffer. And not only they, that is not only fallen creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That is, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We wait for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope with that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know what Paul says about the redemption of our body, our physical redemption, being delivered from the curse of sin and the problems of sin and the sufferings of sin? He says, wait. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, understanding the body of Christ and the nation Israel, and one being destined for heaven and one being destined for the earth, helps us to understand that God's dealings and promises to Israel focus here in the physical realm, pointing them to the spiritual, while His dealings and promises to the body of Christ focus in the spiritual realm, pointing us in the future to physical deliverance. Understanding that simple truth and applying it in all areas of your life, which we'll begin to do next week, will help you to rightly divide the word of truth and not be discouraged and disappointed when God doesn't do what you feel that you should be having done. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have about the program and what you've heard on the broadcast. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.